My guest at this time is the comedian, the very funny comedian, Brian Regan, who's going to be coming to Wenatchee here next month over at the Town Toyota Center. We're all very excited to see you, Brian. Have you ever been to the Northwest before?
I've been to the Northwest quite a bit, but I do not believe I've been to this particular venue or this area, but I'm looking forward to coming to check it out.
When you get an opportunity to come to some place that you've never been to before, maybe a location or a venue or anything, what's sort of some of the work that you do to kind of learn about that area so that you can maybe personalize your stand-up or do some of those things that you do so that you come in with some local knowledge?
Well, I wish I could say I'd like to get to a town a couple days early and go around and check everything out and come up with all kinds of information about that town, but the nature of the beast for me is I tend to do one-nighters, you know. I come in, I do the show, and I blow out of town and go to the next town, so the only jokes I have about particular cities are the pillows that they have in their hotels.
Well, I hope we have very good pillows then for you in Wenatchee.
I hope so, too.
When you guys, what sort of is your inspiration as you have been working as a stand-up comedian for several years now, decades now, and looking at, when you look around you, what is sort of your inspiration, whether it's, you know, things in your life or other comedians, what sort of inspires you as a comedian?
Well, a little bit of everything, you know, I mean, I try to, I just go through my day the way I would normally go through my day. I go through my life the way I would normally go through my life, and every once in a while things jump up and down that look funny to me. And I go, hey, that could be a bit. You know, it could be personal. It could be a personal experience. It could be an observation. Or sometimes it's just, you know, some goofy, quirky thing that you think of. And I like to have all of those in my act so that an audience doesn't quite know where I'm coming from. You know, they might hear an autobiographical joke, and then they'll hear me talk about gun control, and then they'll hear me do something silly. So I like a show like that.
Is that something you tend to do, is have some political humor in your stand-up, along with sort of that observational, look how quirky my life or my family is?
Well, the I don't really get into politics in terms of taking a side. You know, I try to do the kind of jokes that both sides can laugh at. There are comedians out there who take a stand, and that's fine. You know, I believe in, you know, freedom of speech, and if somebody wants to go after someone or something, go for it. But I do the kind of comedy that I want everybody that's in the audience to be able to have a good time and not feel like they wish they hadn't come to see the show.
Yeah, I'd imagine that would be a pretty bad feeling if you were looking down and everybody was kind of staring at their, well, I guess now would be staring at their phones and looking at their friend, blaming them, like, what did you do to me?
Well, I see people looking at their phones anyway, even if you're having a good show. It's crazy. You know, you're on stage and you look out, because everybody has a cell phone, and I think people don't realize how bright their cell phones are. You know, and they shine these rectangular lights on their face. I could be in the middle of a show, and I look out in the audience, I'll see three people with bright light rectangles on their face. And I know they're checking out the score of some football game or doing something better than what I'm talking about, apparently.
I guess so. Well, maybe we're just all addicted to their phones. And
You
have your show Louder Milk that you're in, and you deal with the idea of addiction. I think that phone addiction is a real thing.
That's true. In fact, this Louder Milk, I'm very proud to be on it. We just got picked up for a third season. If you have DirecTV, it's on the Audience Network. And Peter Farrelly of the Farrelly Brothers, he and Bobby Mort created this show called Louder Milk. Ron Livingston plays Louder Milk, who runs a substance abuse program. And I play a character called named Muggsy, who has some troubles in his life. And it's a dark comedy, and, you know, there's some earthy language in there and stuff like that, but if you're not opposed to that, I encourage people to check it out.
In fact, the trailer for the new season has a situation where you're sitting in the middle of the circle or on the outside of the circle with a dart in your head, and you don't quite realize it.
That's right. Yeah, I went off the wagon, and you know, in that episode, I went off the wagon and went to a bar with some friends and had a few and ended up with a dart in my head. I show up at the meeting and the dart is still in my head and I didn't even realize it. It was pretty funny.
What's the difference between doing stand-up, as you've done for so long now, and then getting into acting and doing something where it's not necessarily your words, you're just sort of acting out what other people are saying?
It's a different animal, and I like it. I like the challenge of it. I've always loved stand-up comedy because of the autonomy. You know, I get to write what I want to write and edit it the way I want to edit it and do everything with 100% control, and I love that. But I also like being able to do something different, and being on a TV show is, like this Loudermilk thing, is so fun because I'm serving somebody else's creative vision, you know. I have a little piece of the pie. You know, my character, you know, they give me a lot to do with it, but I'm not one of the main characters, but I love showing up and feeling like I'm part of a team. You know, you've got other actors, you've got lighting people, you've got sound people, you've got directors, you've got catering people, and everybody's contributing. And, you know, I played football when I was in high school and college, and it's nice to be on a team again.
You talk about writing your own stuff. You're known as a clean comedian, one of the few that seem to be out there. How challenging is it to make sort of your way in the world of comedy when you're not going to go to the places or say the things that maybe many of the comedians these days are saying?
Well, just like I said before about, you know, believing in freedom of speech and, you know, how I approve of people going after certain subject matters, I also am okay with comedians out there who like to work on the, you know, the dirty side of the tracks, if you will. But part of freedom of speech is not saying it as well. You know, I have a right to, you know, say things that, you know, I like to just talk about everyday subjects. And it's fun for me to explore relatively mundane things and try to find interesting stuff within it. That doesn't mean all the subjects are mundane. Like I said earlier, you know, I'll talk about some serious stuff as well. But, you know, as far as the clean thing, it's not the main point of what I do, you know. When people leave a show, I want them to go, that guy was funny, not, boy, that guy was clean.
You have a new Netflix special that's getting launched next week. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what this new Netflix special is going to have?
Well, it's actually a series. It's a 4-episode series. It's called Stand Up and Away with Brian Regan. It's executive produced by Jerry Seinfeld, and just having him in my court is a huge honor. And it is a show that is a hybrid. It's half stand-up comedy, half sketch. I do a lot of my older stand-up comedy bits, and those lead into sketches, and we had a lot of fun with it. And we shot it in front of an audience filled with people who know my stuff, and I'm looking forward to it coming out. It streams Christmas Eve on Netflix.
That sounds like a perfect way to get for the holiday.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jerry Seinfeld, he's very complimentary of you, calling you one of his favorite stand-up comedians, and that's a comment that you'll see a lot of other stand-up comedians. They love you, funniest man around, your favorite comedian's favorite comedian. What's it like to hear all of these people come out, you know, these legends of the industry, come out and heap sort of this kind of praise for you?
It's a tremendous honor. I like when anybody likes what I do, but when people who do what I do like what I do, it's an extra special compliment. You know, it's not, comedians know it's not easy to get on stage and make people laugh and, you know, for, I don't know, people to look my way and go, hey, this guy's not too bad at it, makes me feel great.
You talk about getting on stage. Do you remember your first time ever getting on stage and trying a stand-up routine?
Well, my first time on stage in a comedy club was at the Comic Strip Comedy Club in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The club doesn't exist anymore. And it was open mic night, and I went on stage, and as soon as I got on stage, I said, hey, how are you? And there was feedback in the microphone. And I said, well, I've already learned one thing. I don't know how to work a microphone. And that got a laugh. And then my brain shut down.
Oh, no.
My brain shut down all operations. I forgot every single thing that I had memorized. And I just looked out at everybody and I said, well, you're not going to believe this, but I forgot my act. And everybody laughed. And it was like a Twilight Zone. I said, no, I'm serious. I can't remember my act. And they laughed again. And then I realized, hey, well, at least they're laughing at how stupid I am. So I'll start ad-libbing about how dumb I am. So I did a five-minute routine about how stupid I was that I didn't know how to remember my act. And it went really well. And I got off stage and my brain was reeling. I was like, what the heck just happened there? So even though I didn't remember my act, I was able to make people laugh. So it was a good experience overall.
And that's the one thing I'm always impressed with stand-up comedians. You have your routine, but you have to be quick on your feet, so quick thinking to deal with a line that didn't hit, a heckler, or forgetting your act. It's incredible to be able to just like instantaneously try to come up with something and be like, okay, that didn't work. Let's go over here.
That's right. You know, you're like a quarterback. You know, you get up to the line and all of a sudden the linebackers are blitzing and you have to call an audible. It's the same as with a comedian. You know, whatever you're doing doesn't always work. Things happen and you have to, you know, figure out, you know, what am I going to do in this moment to work my way through it. But one of the luxuries of comedy is that you can joke about something not working. You don't have that luxury when you're an airline pilot. You know, you can't get on the intercom and go, man, I did not see that mountain. We almost hit it, folks. That was funny, huh? You know, they're not going to laugh. But when you're a comedian, you can get away with it.
That's right. There are certain places where you can look like a fool and it's perfectly okay.
Exactly.
Brian, thank you so much for joining us. We are super excited. You're going to be at the Town Toyota Center on Thursday, January 10th. If we can't wait until that time, we can always check out the Louder Milk series on Audience Network, second season underway now, or your first Netflix special from back in November of last year, Nunchucks and Flamethrowers. I got to watch it. It's incredible.
Thank you.
Super excited to have you come here to town, and thank you so much for your time today.
Of course. I really appreciate you chatting with me, Kevin.